Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Eric Ingles from Sportsnet coming up at 7:30. Get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs thus far. The Rex Rant at 7:45. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Predators still have a contract situation to figure out with Philip Forsberg. We talked about this a little bit last week. Forsberg addressed the media. We'll see if at some point this week we hear from David Poile and John Hines. And I'm sure Forsberg's contract situation will come up several times with David Poile later this week. I thought Elliot Friedman had some very interesting comments on the Forsberg contract situation last week on the DDC, including a phrase that he threw out there that kind of took me off guard a little bit. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say last week on the DDC regarding Philip Forsberg and his contract situation.
Number one, you've got a landmine with Forsberg. And you know, David Poile has never been afraid to make difficult decisions. And I think to be a good general manager in this league, you have to be willing to make difficult decisions. But this one is hard. Like, this is Philip Forsberg, although he was not drafted by you guys, he's a predator. He is a predator. Your fans look at him and you say, he is our guy. He's a predator. And I think that the number one thing I look at is, if you are not keeping Philip Forsberg, there has to be a very good explanation of why. So the first thing I'm doing if I'm the team is I'm sorting this out one way or the other, and if the answer is no. And here's the thing that concerns me about it, is that it seems to me that there's a sweet spot here, and that sweet spot is somewhere between $8 and $9.059 million. Like, I could see... I think you have to pay him more than Duchesne and Johansson because he's your guy and his production demands it. But I can also see you guys saying, look, Yossi is our top guy and no one's making more than him. The thing is, it sounds simple, but if it was that simple, it would be done already. There's something here that we're not seeing yet that is preventing this deal from getting done. So if you're the Nashville Predators and Philip Forsberg walks, it's not going to be good for you. Your fans have an attachment to Forsberg. They love him. He's one of yours. So if that happens, and I don't know where this is going to go, I'm just saying if that happens, you have to have a clear and concise explanation, and number two, or B, you have to have a clear and concise plan. And so that's what I'm looking at if I'm the Predators right now. I'm trying to get Forsberg done. And if I can't get Forsberg done, I better be able to explain it.
That was Elliot Friedman last week on the DDC. So the sweet spot somewhere between $8 and $9.059 million. Now, if you're wondering why they're so specific on the $9.059 million, that is what Roman Yossi makes per year. So that is why that is the sweet spot that Elliot Friedman has come up with. We talked about this a little bit last week, Joe. But Friedman also said in that interview that the last that he had heard, there was not they had not nailed down the AAV yet when it comes to annual average value for Philip Forsberg and the Predators. I guess my follow-up to that is, well, how far off are they on the AAV? Because I agree with Friedman, like, that's probably the sweet spot. But if you're like the Predators and you're still – like, are you offering him $8 million a year? Is he asking for $10.5 million a year? Like, what is the disagreement on the AAV? Because, as Friedman points out there, if it was that simple, a deal would be done by now, and it's not done, and I have no clue how close they are to having a deal done. I'm interested to see, like, the, you know, we've talked about, well, maybe it's trade protection that they're fighting over, and they're trying to nail down a way to get that done. And as Friedman points out, usually when you're fighting over trade protection, you're pretty close to getting a deal done, and I just don't know how close they are. Is it concerning to you that they've not even nailed down the annual average value part of this yet?
Well, I think that all makes sense, but I guess it doesn't surprise me. And it's a good way to look at it. Like, trade protection is like the last thing you deal with. I guess I hadn't really thought about it that way, but I've assumed that they're far apart on money, or somewhat far apart on money. So, again, I guess I still go back to last week with Forsberg, what he said, you know, taking what he said at face value. One, that basically the trading deadline kind of paused things, and just his general answers to questions about renegotiation. I thought it was more likely after that they still could get it done. I think by the time you get to the end of the season, I was thinking this might just be it, huh? And then you have the long lap and all that stuff. I guess it was interesting stuff from Friedman, but it doesn't make me think too much differently about it. We just don't know what the gap is. And I mean, if it's like 10 or 10 and a half million, like, then I don't think you're going to pay him that much. And I think he's going to walk, but then I'm going to go back. So I hear everything Elliot Friedman's saying about, you know, Predators fans love Forsberg and you better have an explanation. There is no explanation. And the thing is, Predators fans who follow this team closely a lot of them have said all along, just don't lose them for nothing.
Which, if you lose them now.
Right. So, I mean, so there's nothing to say. Like, he's like, well, you got to figure out what you're going to say. There's nothing you can say. If you lose him now, earmuffs, everybody, whatever David Poile says.
The only way you salvage it if you lose Forsberg is to go get, like, Johnny Gaudreau. That's the only way you can salvage it. I mean, that's a big if.
And even if you do that, you still could have prospects and picks from Forsberg.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the losing Forsberg for nothing part of it. Like, there's nothing to – you can't really salvage that anymore. Now, there has been the idea thrown out there, like, if you're pretty confident – coming down the stretch here leading into free agency that you're not going to get a deal done with Forsberg, then maybe you could trade him then and his negotiating rights. Maybe somebody takes that and they give you a draft pick. But that's going to pale in comparison to what you could have got for him at the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pittance.
I mean, they did that with Jimmy Vesey pretty much when they knew that he wasn't going to sign. And I can't remember. It was like a fourth round pick or something. I can't remember what they got out of Jimmy Vesey. I have to go look it up. So I don't know what Philip Forsberg would fetch there, but yeah, I mean that's not going to be anything compared to what you got for him at the deadline. So to that point, I agree. Like, if they lose Forsberg, I don't know what the explanation is going to be from the Predators, because it's not going to go over well with the fan base.
I mean, all you can say is my bad.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and it's not going to go over well at all, and it shouldn't go over well. Speaking of Jimmy Vesey, So you had the Suter situation, you had that situation. Is Forsberg, if he's playing somewhere else, is he just booed out of the building every time he comes in here again?
I don't know. I don't think so. Like, I don't think it would go the same way Suter's went, because, you know, Poile was pretty vocal after Suter left of him leading him in one direction and then him, like, going a different direction.
Right. He got fooled on that one.
Right. Now, Forsberg
misled on that one.
Now, there will be Preds fans that say, well, Forsberg, you just told me that, you know, your goal from day one has been always to be here. Well, what happened?
Just blame Poile.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part of it, too. Like, David Poile with the fan base is in, I think, a pretty different spot now than he was back in the Suter days. Like, there's a lot more, I think, anger directed toward him now than there was back in those days.
Yeah. Speaking of Suter, some really nice things being said about him lately, huh?
Yeah, Jason Arnott was a big fan of Suter.
People really like Ryan Suter, apparently.
Apparently so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the Philip Forsberg contract situation? How worried are you that he is going to leave and the Predators will lose him for nothing? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Eric Ingles from Sportsnet coming up at 7:30. Get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Philip Forsberg contract situation. 615-737-1025. April in Portland texting in says, if Forsberg is wanting more than $9 million, I'm booing him when he comes back. If he wants to be in Nashville like he says, he has to be logical for his worth. In my opinion, that's the last straw for Poile. He's fired. I'm not okay losing Forsberg for nothing. Poile should have came in with his best offer before the deadline, and if Forsberg didn't bite, he should have traded him and got something. It's like my principal says, everyone is replaceable. This is coming from April in Portland. We're going to get on that side of your principal.
Man, April bringing some fire today.
Yeah.
So mad at Forsberg, mad at, so I'm trying to think how this would play out. So I guess if he does walk, it's not like we're ever gonna get details.
Right.
I mean, typically the agents don't do that. They don't leak out like what was being asked for typically.
Well, and this particular agent has been doing this for a long time, so probably not gonna happen.
Yeah. But you'll see what he signs for.
That's the thing.
You know, so. But remember, too, that it's going to be more. I mean, that's just how it is. Like, especially if you take away that year, whatever he signs for, someone's going to overpay for him. Like, do you think someone – would someone give him $10
million? I don't know who can give him $10 million. That's the thing. Like, there are teams out there that
can. LA give him $10
million? I don't think so. I don't think they can. Now, you could, there's a long time between now and free agency, so you can trade people and
right.
clear some cap.
You can clear space.
So it's not a complete picture of what it could be right now, but right now there's not a lot of teams out there that got a lot of cap space.
Yeah, so, but I mean, in general, I agree, April. Like, I think you got to be realistic if you're Forsberg. Again, you have the extra year here. You have the state income tax here. Over and over again. The lack of a state income tax for people who are just moving here. If you just moved here, hey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
I mean, more than $9 million is absolutely – I think that's too much. I think you're – I mean, I think really if it wasn't for Duchesne and – because like Friedman mentioned it again. If it wasn't for Duchesne and Johansson making $8 million, then I think that's about what he should get. You know, it's about $8 million a year.
I would agree. I mean, at this point, though, I don't think there's any way he's signing for $8 million.
Yeah, that's fine. Again, Duchesne actually, Duchesne, by the way.
He outperformed that this year.
Yeah. Yes, he did. But more than $9 million, I agree. I mean, that's not realistic. So then what is – so if that's the case, is he being unrealistic or is Poile being too cheap or are they really not that far apart? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question. Now – there's this idea out there, well, Roman Josi is your best player. He's getting paid $9.059 million, and nobody should be making more than him, which I understand that, and a lot of me agrees with it. Like, Roman Josi's your best player. He's your highest-paid player. But it's also, like, it's the market and what dictates it. Like, if the market says that Philip Forsberg can go out there and make $10 million, which I don't think he can, but if the market says that, then you have to respond accordingly if you're the Predators if you want him. Or you don't, you let him walk. That's up to you.
Or you trade him.
Yeah.
Get a time machine.
Well, there's that too. But like this idea that like you should just take this hard and fast approach if you're the Predators that no one's making more than Roman Josi. Well, that sounds great, but a lot of this is when you become a free agent too and what the market looks like. And if the market says that Philip Forsberg can go out and make $9.5 million, then he's probably going to be looking for $9.5 to $10 million, would be my guess. Now, that doesn't mean that ultimately you can't work out a deal where let's say Forsberg signs right on the dot for 9. So Yossi's still the highest paid player and Forsberg right behind him with 9. Like, could you live with that if you're a Predators fan? I probably could at this point, but I don't know. Like, I just don't buy that hard and fast. If you're the Predators, nobody should be making more than Roman Yossi.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. If you had someone, I mean, and it's, look, it's just a different market. It's just a different market. You're talking about a top, I think it's fair to say right now, top 5 defenseman in the game. I mean, you're talking about a Norris finalist. Like, he's right there. Forsberg's not a top 5 forward, not a top 10 forward. What is he? Top what? Top what forward?
I don't know. He's probably in the top. He's top 20 this year. But, I mean, 20? The way he played this year, he's top 20.
Yeah, this year he's top 20. There's still a difference in market there, right?
Yes.
Top forwards, you're going to make the most money. But so I agree with you, but I just don't think – I wouldn't pay him more than 9. So when you're talking about, again, if you're doing the max term, which I think you would, it's $72 million committed to Philip Forsberg. That's a lot of money committed to Philip Forsberg at this stage in his life and his career. After a great season, for sure. But, I mean, that's – I mean, if you're Forsberg – like, again, I would agree with Preds fans, like April, and speaking for any other Preds fans, if you find, you know, if Forsberg gets offered $9 million by David Poile over 8 years and he turns it down, then, yeah, he may go get more money than that. He may, but I'd be mad at him, and you'd have a right to. But, again, then also be mad at Poile. Be mad at everybody.
Back on the map. Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texting in says, I'm pretty confident the Preds will re-sign Forsberg. I have about the same level of confidence that the Titans were going to get AJ's contract figured out, so Forsberg probably will be playing for the Kings next year. That's coming from Josh on the text line.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris says,
I've said that, I've thrown this out there, Chris, but I like it.
Chris says, how about 9.09 million?
Well,
it had to be 0.009.
0.009.
If it's 9.09 million, that's more than Yossi because he's 9.05.
9.009 is the right number.
Yeah.
Mike from Nashville, Forsberg isn't an all-in guy. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know what that means either.
I mean, again,
because he wants to get paid,
right? I mean, this is
Roman Yossi wanted to get paid too,
and he did. This is the one time in your in your career. This is it. This is his last time getting paid to play hockey. One of the best hockey players in the world. So, got to understand that.
Wayne on the text line says, as I told you earlier, ownership is involved in the Forsberg deal. They'll have to change their mind before it gets done. This franchise is in financial trouble. This is coming from Wayne, and Wayne has called in to every show here talking about his concern of, can the Predators spin to the cap? That is a question that when David Poile talks, I'd like to know the answer to that question.
So is Wayne, he's on this, like you said, he's all over the place with this. Is this, Wayne, are you just guessing this or are you claiming to have inside information?
I don't know.
He didn't really say that when the call that he did. But you seem very confident in that. Scott asks, do we know of any other teams that express interest in Forsberg? Well, that'd be tampering.
Well, he's not a free agent.
Yeah. Although, I guess, unless you mean interest to Poile.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure, especially when the report came out from Andy Strickland that the Predators were, quote, actively shopping. I'm sure Dave Poile got a few calls the next day.
Yeah.
Philip Forsberg is going to have plenty of interest if he gets to the open market.
Yeah. I mean, Frank says it's ironic Forsberg had all the leverage a month ago, but his performance down the stretch in the playoffs had to have hurt his position. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much it hurt it. I mean, I would mention it. Yeah. So Mike's saying you don't go all in on him.
Okay.
Well, I mean, okay. Again.
But you kind of have to now, don't you? I mean, if you're Poile, like you've put yourself in this position where you didn't get anything for him at the deadline. So don't you kind of have to.
Right.
You got to kind of like empty the clip of your best offer. It's got to be there.
Yes.
Yeah. At some point. Like, I'm kind of surprised the best offer wasn't there before the deadline. That's just me.
Right. And. Yeah, I mean, that's to the point. That was the whole thing. We talked about it back then. Like, if it's not looking good, well, that's the deadline's kind of there to tell you, okay, maybe you need to. I get that making the playoffs is important. You got there. You got a couple games. Got a couple home games this year. But that's the whole idea. Is if it's not looking good at that point, then what does that mean? Because, yeah, I mean, you don't go all in on him. If you don't go all in on him and you lose him, now you didn't get anything back for him, but now you're basically forced into a rebuild, in my opinion. Unless, like you said, you know, go get Johnny Hockey. Okay, then save the day. I mean, you've got a lot of cap space to go do things with. But
by the way, you talk about paying some money. Like Forsberg is, let's say Forsberg ends up at $9 million. Johnny Hockey is going to make more than Forsberg. He'll end up at 10 or 11.
So you think he can get up to 11?
I mean, he had like 113 points this year.
Yeah. Pretty good. He was pretty good last night. Pretty good last night.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hear you. Like, if that's the, like, a lot of Predators fans would make that trade right now of, okay, well, let Forsberg walk and go sign Johnny Hockey. First off, Johnny Hockey, there's no guarantee. He can go wherever he wants. That's the benefit of being an unrestricted free agent. But if that ended up being the way it went, to me, that's really the only way you can save face if you're poor on the Preds, if you let him walk.
Yeah, and again, even if all that happens, just imagine having him plus the assets. Stuff you would have traded Forsberg for.
Coming up next, we'll get Eric Ingles from Sportsnet, his thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs, including Johnny Hockey, his big goal last night, setting up a big second-round matchup between Edmonton and Calgary. Get his thoughts on the Predators as well. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Preds, season tickets for the Preds 22-23 season are on sale now. Full half and quarter season plans are available. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations. And season ticket citizens also receive up to 6 bonus tickets to share with friends and family during the 22-23 regular season as well. Season ticket citizens receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, savings on Preds Foundation events, and much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Talking Stanley Cup playoffs. And to help us do that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Eric Ingles from Sportsnet. Eric, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Everything's good. How are you guys?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Eric, there's a lot to get to with you. Let's start with the Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, I mean, it was a great series, very evenly matched series, and the two-time defending champs get it done in the end and win Game 7. This is not something that's new for Toronto, being out in the first round. It does feel a little bit different in terms of the way they competed, though. How do you think Maple Leafs fans should feel after this series where, yes, it's the same result? That Tampa team's pretty darn good, though.
They should feel devastated.
Yes. You know,
their team had a chance to take a 3-1 lead in this series and played a dud in Game 4. Their team had a chance to win this series in Game 6. They had a lead going to the third period, and they lost. And, yes, they are playing against a championship-caliber team. You know what? I've been dealing with these hockey players for 15 years in this industry, and, you know, you often hear them say you learn something from every experience, especially the losses. If I'm Toronto, if I'm the team, I'm watching the tape from Game 6 and Game 7 and watching the third periods in both games and taking everything I can from how Tampa played both those periods, because down a goal, they were absolutely very aggressive, Tampa Bay in Game 6, to win, and up a goal in Game 7 in the third period, they locked down the ice in a way that there was just, you know, it wasn't like Toronto sat back and didn't try to get the game even. It, you know, they just locked down the ice completely. There was no getting to the middle. There was no getting to the slot. There was no getting to the inside. They blocked every shot. And it's not like Tampa Bay sat back either. They just didn't give them anything. And if Toronto could find a way to learn from that, if they could find a way to study that film and take that with them, because I don't know if you can. I think, you know, it's either you have that experience and understand exactly what to do and how to do it. But, man, as for their fans, yeah, it's devastation over and over and over again. And I tweeted the other night, torture for Toronto, because that's what it feels like. It's torturous.
Meanwhile, Rangers-Pens, Eric, quite a series. Obviously, you know, Crosby, I mean, him missing that game is huge there. But I thought, you know, just a tremendous game seven, and now maybe we're looking at a very different situation in Pittsburgh. What do you think we're going to see unfold there?
I don't really know. I mean, it's a great question. The idea that neither Letang nor Rust nor Malkin were signed earlier at any point and that they're going to free agency, still with plenty of time to get something done with Pittsburgh. You know, it's kind of a 50-50 proposition, but if you had to lean one way or the other, you know, you look at Ron Hextall being brought in after the rebuild that he put together in Philadelphia, which, you know, inevitably didn't work out as it was taken over by Chuck Fletcher. You know, he was extremely patient. He wanted to go about things in a very slow, methodical way, sometimes too slow for Philly's appetite, and ends up in Pittsburgh, and now Brian Burke is there, and I don't know. You know, they have to look at their situation realistically and assess whether or not if they were to continue with some what would be long-term deals for guys like Malkin and Letang, who are, you know, on the back nine of the back nine of their careers, well, I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense for them. So this, we could be seeing the end of what was a pretty great run for this team, you know, making the playoffs year after year, winning multiple Stanley Cups with this core and this group. You know, you wonder what it means for Crosby down the line. You know, if they break up the band, how much of an appetite he'll have to stick around as the franchise player, you never know. But yeah, it seems like the end of an era in Pittsburgh, and it would be interesting to see where these guys end up. You know, you look at a guy like Evgeny Malkin, I think there's a lot of teams that would be interested in having him. You know, I can't help but wonder about two specifically. One would be Florida, because he lives in Fisher Island and has a home there and has been there for a number of years. The other, which would be the most ultimate heel turn of all time, is Washington, who's got Nicholas Backstrom on a long-term injury with a hip injury and facing some questions about his future. And if the money frees up and Washington still sees a window open and all of a sudden Evgeny Malkin's there and Ovechkin's there, that could be, with Kuznetsov, very interesting. So we'll see about that. And obviously, you know, here in my market, here in Montreal, everybody's talking about Chris Letang because of connection with longtime agent Ken Hughes, who's now the GM of the Canadiens. And he's been talking a lot about needing some veteran leadership and needing to replace Jeff Petrie if he trades him. So, you know, watch those two guys and see what happens.
Eric Ingles from Sportsnet on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Eric, you've got obviously the Battle of Alberta coming up in the second round. Connor McDavid absolutely willing the Oilers to win the other night in Game 7 against the Kings. Really, the only thing holding him back was those god-awful jerseys that the Oilers were wearing, but we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. What do you make of that matchup in the second round between Calgary and Edmonton?
I don't really like it for Edmonton, I'm not going to lie. You know, I think they had their hands full with an LA team that really locked down the ice, but can't necessarily score on the same level. You know, Calgary, I can't even come up with the proper words to explain what we saw from Jake Oettinger in that series for Dallas. And Dallas also is an incredible shutdown, lockdown team, just built for playoff hockey. And they made it as hard as you possibly can make it for a team to get through them. And Calgary still managed to persevere. And I'm just looking at this series and saying to myself, yeah, you know, McDavid was unbelievable in round one. He took his game to a whole new level. Draisaitl is somewhat injured going to the next round. We'll see how much he heals up in a couple days. And, yes, it's the Battle of Alberta, and you're going to have these teams, you know, go at it with one another. And there's an external factor in that that could level up the matchup just because of the passion of that situation and the fact that it hasn't happened since basically the 1980s. But I just look at Calgary and say they're going from playing Oettinger to playing Mike Smith. And I like the way that looks for them. I like the way it looks for them going from playing a stifling Dallas defensive squad, and not just their defense, but like their forwards who are great defensively, to play against an Edmonton team that, let's face it, as much as people want to talk about how they've lacked depth or this or that, they have not attuned themselves to playing the style of hockey that is necessary to play to win in the playoffs. They did a bit of it in the LA series, and they were somewhat forced to. Whether or not they could do that against Calgary, which is so in your face all over the ice, is really questionable for me. I think this series is going to be shorter than a lot of people want it to be. I said that Calgary would win it in six games. It won't surprise me if Calgary wins it in five games. It'll really surprise me if Edmonton wins it at all. And if they do, watch out. But yeah, I just, from Ottinger to Smith, from the Stars to the Oilers, you know, this just feels like Calgary gaining the momentum they need to do exactly what they're supposed to do, because they're a better team in this one than they're about to play.
So, Eric, as you might imagine, we've talked a lot lately, and actually for a long time now, about Philip Forsberg and his contract situation. I'm just wondering from your perspective, what's the market for Philip Forsberg if he is a free agent this summer? What's the interest level in him?
I'm not sure it's really worth discussing, you know, because it's really going to come down to, does he want to stay in Nashville, which I believe he does. Does Nashville want to keep him? I believe they do. And, you know, it's dollars and cents in Roman Josi's contract by comparison, and I think it'll get done, you know. I know that if you're a Nashville fan, I kind of look at this like there was a number of years where Andre Markov here in Montreal is a great player, defenseman for the Canadiens. You know, it always went into June before he signed his contract, and then always ended up with the contract you'd expect him to have. And I kind of just see it the same way with Forsberg. You know, this is a negotiation. Typically, deadlines spur negotiation to the type of action that's required to get something done. You know, if for whatever reason there's some sort of insult, or Philip Forsberg just says to himself, you know what, I just don't like where this is all going, and the grass is greener on the other side, and I'm out of here. If it comes to that, I mean, if you want me to identify a market for this player, look across the entire NHL. I think there's 31 other teams that would be interested in signing him. Whether or not they'd have the money to do so is questionable. But, you know, he had a career year. I don't see him scoring goals at the same pace that he did this year again, but I do think he's going to be, you know, electric for a number of more years. So I think he wants to get it done in Nashville. I think they want to get it done. As long as that's the case, they will get it done.
Eric, are people fired up about the Shane Wright saga in Montreal?
They are, you know, and obviously there's going to be a segment of the population that's fired up about Logan Cooley. And you know, another segment of it fired up about Slavkovsky, and another segment of it is about it, you know, saying trade the first overall pick, you know, for God knows what. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. You don't get into this situation. I mean, this is so rare, right?
Yep. Like,
the last team to host the draft and draft first overall was Toronto in 1985. The last time the Canadiens drafted first overall was 1980. They've drafted third overall twice, or three times in the last number of years. Maybe it's twice. I'm having hallucinations. There was Galchenyuk, Kotkaniemi. They didn't hit it with either guy, and now they have a chance to draft first overall. They're not giving that up. There's nobody out there, based on the conversation that's happened around this draft and, you know, how some people feel about Shane Wright, which I think is, like, ridiculous. I'll get into that in a second. Nobody's going to give up what you would need to get to first overall because they don't see enough separation between the players. I'm going to say this. What people have said about Shane Wright this year, and I understand, you know, there's a lot of scouts out there. There's a lot of people. The scouts are one thing. Like, there's a lot of people who watch YouTube samplings and think they're experts on these players who they've never seen live and don't know anything about, have never met them, have never talked to them, have never listened to a word they've said, and think they can pin down exactly what they are. You know, I think there's been a lot of down talk about Shane Wright because he's not Connor Bedard. I think that's totally unfair. You know, people keep saying there's no generational player in this draft. Yet they're called generational players for a reason. They don't come around in every draft. You know, you're lucky if you get one once a generation. That's what the label is for. You know, does that mean this kid is not going to be a number one center in the NHL and a star player? I think he's very much projected to be exactly that. I think at his bottom end, he's going to be like Nick Suzuki. You know, like you watch Nick Suzuki play right now. If that's what Shane Wright ends up, because he didn't top out at the top side of his talent, he's going to be a number one center. So, look, you know, I've watched him play a lot. I can only go on my own opinion. I think he's a fantastic player, great at both ends of the ice and really talented. Is he Connor Bedard? I don't think so. Is he going to be a great player? I do think so, and I just think it's kind of patently ridiculous what some people have said just because he didn't have an explosive start to the season. Let's see what happens, too, over the summer, because an opportunity for him to potentially play at the World Juniors in August before training camp, after getting drafted. And I'm curious myself, and plan on making a couple calls, as to whether or not he'll get a call to come join Team Canada over in Helsinki for the World Championships now that his season is done. So I guess we'll see what develops here, but the story of Shane Wright will be written soon.
Yep, no question about it. Eric, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Fun to catch up with you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eric Engels from Sportsnet, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie
Every
and Rex Road
we have
with Joe Rex
trouble.
Road. Who's not worrying? He is happy. Coming back in here this break. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby McFerrin. Just let that soak in a little bit, you know? Just angry teenager having to go to high school, having to listen to this song.
That's right.
Made high school. Oh, God. What was the radio station? It was like Q94 in Richmond, Virginia. They played this freaking song all the time.
Just on repeat.
But this and Kokomo were both really popular at the same time. So
yeah, buddy.
It was like right around, you know, 89. Man.
Everybody dreaming about the beach apparently at the same time.
Yeah. I guess, just with terrible music. All right. So today I'm going to I love this idea Friday, and I'm glad it happened. But now I'd like to weigh in on the debate between Jared Stillman and Chris Mason.
Okay.
Okay.
It was a spirited one.
It was a spirited one. And, you know, for people who don't know Chris Mason, even if you don't know him personally, if you've heard him enough, for Chris Mason to get mad at anybody.
It takes a lot.
You know, like, yeah. So congratulations, Jared, because you actually got him mad, which is that's quite a feat. So I love the idea. I want to pick at both of them a little bit. Okay, neither of them are here to push back against me, so I can just say whatever
do
I
whatever
want.
You want.
There's nothing they can do about it. Okay, but you can push back against me. But,
okay.
So I agree with. So for those who don't know, they had a debate about the Preds, and basically it was Jared's negative outlook on the Preds.
Yes.
You know, he's very down on everything that's going on, and Chris Mason pushing back on that with, I guess, a pretty positive outlook on the Preds. Okay, so I agree with some of what Bo said. So I agree with Mace that John Hines has done a good job. He's done about as much as you can hope with this group. But see, so this is where I depart from CMA. See, if that's true, then that tells us something about the team, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he's putting them both together in terms of like stop overreacting, hot taking all over Poyle and Hines, right? So I disagree. They should be separated. Now I'm saying things that we've said over and over again, but that's okay. I agree with Stillman in his general assessment that his mistakes have been made. The team isn't good enough to compete at the highest level. There should be accountability for that, okay? But then he does stuff like bring up the Fiala trade, which is like that's not the thing to bring up. There's way better examples. And again, if you have all this problem with the way the team's been built, then why are you wasting your time talking about the coaching?
Yeah.
But ultimately, I am giving the win to C-Mace. Now, I know you may think, oh, yeah, you're just going to rip on Jared. Yeah. No, because Jared has to revert to being the little kid on his high chair throwing his mashed peas at people. When he's, you know, again, the default of like, Carrier sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't. It's the boy who cried wolf with this sucks, that sucks. Like, choose different language. You're an intelligent person. Use different words. Use your words, Jared. Use your words. And I must say that when he said that, I agree with C-Mace. I hate it when you say stupid
stuff
like that.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Right? Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, you say dumb stuff like that. C-Mace gets the win.
Surprise, surprise.
But only because I think it was pretty much dead even. I disagree with both and agree with both to some extent. Like, Poyle, the team, where is it going? This is what we should all be talking about. Hines is just, it's just a waste of time.
Well, too often the conversation to me devolves into so-and-so sucks. Like, I thought Alex. Well,
especially when Jared's involved.
Well, I thought Alex Carrier was actually pretty good this season. I mean, the numbers back that up. He was pretty good for the Predators in the regular season. Now, I did not think he was good at all against Colorado, and I think he got pushed around. He made some horrible decisions with the puck. I thought he had a really bad series against Colorado. So, yeah, he was bad against the Avalanche. Now, get in line for people who were bad against the Avalanche, but that does not, to me, mean that his entire season was off, as Joe Rexroad totally mutes himself.
That's probably better. Right. It doesn't mean he sucks.
Right.
I mean, Alex Carrier, I thought, was probably as encouraging / surprising an individual development of last season as any.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we made all this fuss about Tolvanen. He had a few good weeks, but Carrier was a huge development last year, and it probably plateaued some this year. It's like, okay. There you go. I mean, that's part of moving Ellis, right? Isn't it part of moving Ellis?
It is. I think it's a fair question to ask of do you want, like, ideally, on a team that you are trying to build to compete for a cup, is it ideal that Alex Carrier is a top four defenseman on that type of a team? Is it ideal that Dante Fabbro is a top four defenseman? Right now, I'd lean no, that it's not ideal that he's a top four defenseman.
With him, it needs to be ideal.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but Carrier, I think, was largely pretty good this year. Now, you know, his offensive numbers are not going to blow you away. I don't think that's what he does. I mean, he was on a pairing with Ekholm basically the whole year, and they got defensive zone draws, and they got put against top competition out there. And, you know, I'm not saying Josi didn't play against top competition a lot, because he did. But if you needed to go shut someone down, John Hines was most of the time tossing out Ekholm and Carrier. So I think their role was defensive. Like, Jared was talking about Carrier can't skate. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, have you ever watched him skate? He's a pretty darn good skater.
Right. It's just, yeah, it's hyperbole. It's too much hyperbole. But again, every single thing where this team isn't just, it's all been part of a plan. I mean, Poyle made a bunch of mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it put him in the spot. It's part of where they are. And again, there's been some things that have been better since then. So it's not all bad, but it's okay to be unhappy about where the team is and be concerned about where it's going and be concerned about, you know, Poyle as the person to lead them into the future. I mean, that's all totally fair.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can catch it every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rexroad. By the way, Tyler on the text line says, Thanks for nothing. My four-year-old is now humming Don't Worry, Be Happy. This is coming from Tyler on the text line.
Wow.
We apologize.
Sorry, man. I know how tough that can be.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things Middle Tennessee sports. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.